This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10%. We use the code FIT10 in the comments section at checkout. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. This week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 104. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and we got the cast this week. First off, Tony Gentlecore is very tired. He fell asleep inside of a Barnes & Noble, and he just got woken up, so I apologize if he's cranky. Tony, you got your blog on.
No. First of all, it wasn't like I just got woken up to do the show, and it wasn't a Barnes & Noble. But yes, I am tired because I just got to, I just came back from a doubleheader that we won, and we're in the championship game next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My elbow is about ready to fall off, so I'm going to have to talk to John about fixing my elbow.
I'll write you a prescription.
And that's Jonathan Fass of jonathanfass.blogspot.com, and also your other website, acceleratedstrength.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, John? Coming off a wedding?
Yep, coming off of a wedding. Congratulations to Derek and Nalon once again for finally doing what the rest of us were waiting for them to do for like 5 years, is to get married. So it was an awesome wedding, really good time, and they had a Viennese dessert table, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
This is kind of an inside joke, but if Pete listened to the show, Tony, we should give a shout out to Pete.
What was that?
I said, too bad Pete doesn't listen to the show.
Pete from Krusty Performance?
No, the other Pete that we know, Tony, and no one else knows.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Is that the Pete you're referring to?
Yeah, the Pete who... Never mind. I'm not even going to bring this up. Tony is, you know, it's like his 13th inning of pitching at this point. So we also have Lee Peel of avidityfitness.com. Lee, what's up?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It is
done.
Oh, damn.
The entire world just shouted .net at you, Kevin.
Well,
I'm changing it anyway soon, I swear to God. So it'll never be a problem again.
Did you change that possibly to kevindontknow.com?
I think I should. I think I'm gonna buy it. I'm buying it right now. I'm buying Kevin Larrabee can't say my fucking URL.com.
Can you put swear words in your? I'm gonna try that. Let's see, I'm on GoDaddy. Let's try effitnow.com. And it's already taken. Someone already picked that up. So I guess I can't get that one. Well, we're all here this week. Obviously, we didn't have a show last week. We were supposed to have Chris Bell from Bigger, Stronger, Faster come on. And apparently, communications were somehow mixed up. And we waited for him to call, and he didn't call, so he is going to probably come on the show next week, so people can look forward to that, but I promise we'll get him on, so don't worry about that. Also, just a couple things about the website. Tony can talk a little bit about this, too. I don't know if Tony talked... we talked to Tony much about this, but we have a client, Danny Verna at Krusty Performance, and he wanted to do Warp Speed Fat Loss. So I started talking with Danny, and we're going to do it together. So we're going to do that, and starting on Monday, hopefully we'll start blogging about that. And it should be interesting. It's the program by Alan Cosgrove and Michael Roussel. So I don't know if anyone has anything to say about that, Tony.
He is going to be a brick house after that program. He's an animal.
So what am I going to be?
Well, you are too. I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, actually training with Danny would be very good for you. He, you know,
I like, I have the equivalent of a man crush on Danny. It's like every time he comes in, there's a little, you know, extra, you know, skip in my step, and I go and say hi to him immediately. What, Tony?
I said he brings a little life to the facility when he walks in. He's the type of guy that every facility needs. Comes in, just does his training, you know, doesn't mess around, gets right to it. But no, he's a great guy. He should do very well. You will too. I didn't realize you were doing it with him. I thought him and Brian were going to do it. I didn't realize you were doing it with him.
Yeah, I figured. What the hell, you know? It's.
Hey, when are you guys starting it next month?
We're starting it Monday, tomorrow.
Monday. Gotcha.
So that should be interesting. So we'll be talking about that. Last thing I want to mention is the podcast awards are coming up, and I never publicized this last year, but basically the podcast awards are for, believe it or not, the best podcasts out there. It's kind of a novel concept, and you have to vote for what you want to be the, you know, podcast award in the various categories, and there is a category called Best Health and Fitness, and all you have to do is go to the website. I'll post the link in the show notes. It's just podcastawards.com, and you punch in the name, the FitCast, and then the URL, which is obviously thefitcast.com, and that will put in one vote. We don't win anything, but it would be nice to at least be recognized for that, along with, you know, Naked Yoga Fitness and Naked Jumping Jacks.
I don't think it's fair that the FitCast gets grouped in the same category as like the yoga podcast and stuff like that. I think it's a totally different genre.
Well, all it is there's like fitness and nutrition, I think it is. And
yeah, it's just unfortunate.
It is. I cry every night. Okay, this is... You guys ready for the news of the week? The news of the week is playing in the background. That's our special news music, and I'm going to make sure to put that in. And if I forgot to put music in, then that's going to be funny. So this week's news of the week comes from our listener named Robert, and it's from the newyorktimes.com. It's titled, "I Put in 5 Miles at the Office." And I feel like we talked a little bit about this like 2 years ago when Bill Hartman was on, because he talked about how he set up a desk on top of his treadmill and this whole concoction of putting a laptop and a mouse pad on his treadmill and having the whole stand-up desk. But there's actually these treadmills that have been going into the workplace that are just flat, a small flat, obviously flat treadmills. I don't have my A game this week. I apologize. But they allow you to, you know, for people who do answering services or customer service over the phone, it allows them to, you know, walk while they're at the computer or on the telephone. And I just thought it was really cool about just seeing the benefits that people have had from putting in these treadmills. And one cool thing is Dr. Levine constructed a treadmill desk by sliding a bedside hospital tray over a $400 treadmill. Like, that's really how easy it gets. And Bill Hartman has talked about the benefits of a stand-up desk for a couple of years now. And if you're having low back pain, things like that, it can definitely benefit you. And it's, you know, you don't want to be sitting at a desk for 10 hours a day. I definitely got the brunt of that by only doing it for 2 months when I was out in California, and it's not very fun. But I don't know, does anyone have I'll put the link for this in the show notes, but I don't know if anyone had like anything to say. Like, John, I know you did a lot of stuff with Bill in the last couple of months. Is there anything that you thought would be worth mentioning or following up on?
I mean, it's just it's kind of like one of those almost no-brainers where it's like, you know, is it better to be walking or standing up than to be sitting down for the majority of your time? I mean, I would think that's pretty obvious. So with no pun intended, it's a step in the right direction. but no, I think that it is. Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, hopefully people will kind of catch on. I mean, I know there are a lot of big companies out there that very much so promote health in their workforce, for various reasons, and hopefully this is something that could catch on, because we are certainly a population that needs a little bit more exercise during the day.
If you could, like, mass market these things, though, you could see how they definitely have a if you could find people that would actually use the treadmills, or just make some kind of reward system, because you could see, like, they've done things like that in terms of corporate fitness, and they've seen insurance bills go down and stuff for companies. So I definitely think that would be a step in the right direction. I can help myself. That's the only thing that was on the top of my head. But it's just really cool that I think it's going to be tough to see if companies are actually going to continue to do this as the economy kind of tumbles a little bit. Tony or Lee, I don't know, anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, as John said, it's a step in the right direction. It gets people moving. For people who have lower back pain, walking actually does help that tremendously. I mean, it looks a little funny. I briefly looked on the link to the article and saw the picture of the man and woman walking on the treadmill while they had their heads on. I mean, it looks funny, but, you know, whatever. It's, but yeah, definitely a good idea. I don't know if it's going to catch on, though, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of companies going in that direction. I think maybe some of the big ones might, but it's definitely one that I don't think is going to catch on anytime soon.
Yeah, I think I agree with Tony, too. I mean, I think it's probably more likely that you might see the standing offices where people aren't necessarily sitting, but they're at stand-up desks more than something like this. It's a good idea, but there's a huge amount of cost involved in people's compliance, and that's tough.
Just to liven up the show a little bit, we're going to talk about yoga.
Nice.
In the next couple minutes, I'm going to bump that up in the agenda, because Tony is tired, and I think we need something to liven up. So I think this will wake Tony up a little bit. Tony, let's talk about yoga, because you wanted to bring this up, and you said you had a conversation with Cassandra Forsyth about this.
Yeah, Cass enjoys yoga, and we've been talking about it a little bit. And you'll hear positives and negatives for it. And to play devil's advocate for a moment, I mean, Cassandra and I were briefly discussing, and I said, there are a lot of benefits to yoga that I think get overlooked. I try to look for the good in any type of technique, regardless of what it is, to see if there's something beneficial that you can get out of it. And I think, without question, there's a lot that you can get out of yoga. And when we – I know Tony's blogged about it, I've written articles about it too, and Lee has also. And, you can see negative effects, certainly the lumbar spine. That tends to be the biggest complaint. Some of the poses or the flexibility techniques used will increase range of motion, especially an extension of the lumbar spine. But other than that, there's a lot of good that comes out of it, as far as the number one thing that I look at is joint stability. The poses themselves are demanding of muscular endurance and static positioning. And that's something that we all try to do as trainers, all of us here in the FitCast. That's one of our major, things that we focus on when we put together our training for our clients or athletes or whatever is, not only it's a joint stability, not only mobility, but a stability. And this is a fantastic way to do that. You have to look at the population you're using. Do I think yoga is great for, a wide receiver? I don't, probably not. If I have a couple of things to use, yoga is probably not going to be one of them. But for a general client, health client trying to lose weight, it's not going to be the focus of their weight loss. And I think if people are using yoga simply for weight loss, they're probably going to miss something. But as a supplement, 2-3 times a week or whatever, if they want to engage in that, you may have to be selective in the types of positions that they're taking if there's something that's contraindicated for them. But that really just speaks to the quality of the instructor, not necessarily the type of yoga itself. So
Lee, you've written a couple articles about this. What do you think?
I think, it's just one of those things. It's who it's for. And I think, for the most part, John hit on it, but obviously, if you're trying to increase your power output, range of motion and that kind of thing. I mean, it's static, for the most part, yoga is static thing. So anything that involves more motion, you're not really going to want to use it in that kind of an aspect. But if you're using it for just gaining some general flexibility, and I think what John said about the instructor, very important, because some yoga instructors are, they know what they're doing, they won't hyperextend. There's just certain, they know what they're doing, and they'll watch what you're doing well, and it ends up being very beneficial. Others are just trying to contort you in the craziest, stupidest positions that they could possibly get you in, and it's really just not good for, a woman in her 40s who's trying to lose weight to, get into like a lying pretzel. It's not exactly like what she should be doing. So, it is about the instructor and what they're doing, but there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's a case by case scenario. And I think that for the most part, practicing good flexibility and breathing techniques, there's nothing ever bad about that. Just is it what you need? And is for what you need, is there something more beneficial that you can use? I think it's really an audience thing. I think with most things like this, yoga, Pilates, certain kind of movements in general, it's what do you need? And a lot of people just, they hop on a train and they don't think about training for what they need. So I think it all comes down to training for what you need and what you can fit in.
Okay, I wanted this to be like Fox News talking about a Democrat. I didn't want this to be like
You got CNN instead.
Well, I haven't gone yet.
I didn't. Okay, Tony, take the safety off, all right?
Well, I've been quoted as saying in the past, and I'll continue saying that yoga mostly sucks. It doesn't suck entirely, but it does mostly suck.
Thank you.
I am just not a fan of yoga. I think it goes as, and yes, the yoga instructors that are listening to this, I do realize there are a lot of fantastic yoga instructors out there. That aside, the industry itself perpetuates lies to women. Just as far as their,
You gotta give an example though, if you're gonna say that.
Well, I absolutely will. I absolutely will. I just think it perpetuates lies and digs and delves into the fears that women have towards resistance training. I think like the best example I can think of off the top of my head, and one that Mike Boyle's used a lot, is the fact that oh, muscle or yoga and Pilates will lengthen your muscles. That doesn't happen. I mean, the length of your muscle is depending on the origin and insertion, which is the length of a bone, and you can't lengthen bones. So, when a yoga or Pilates instructor says, "Oh, one of the benefits of taking my class is you'll lengthen your muscles, ladies," no, you won't. And not to mention, I wrote an article, I think, a year and a half ago. I forget when I wrote it, but Four Things Your Girlfriend Should Know, and the premise of the article itself was basically just to kind of give some ammo to guys to get their girlfriend slash wife slash significant other to look at the merits of resistance training. And you look at a lot of what women do. I understand the camaraderie of it. Like yoga, I think it's great from a camaraderie standpoint. I mean, the reason why a lot of women do it is because there's other women their age doing it, and they're not. And I understand the intimidation factor of going to a weight room, but you look at what most women are looking to get out of, working out, increase strength, decrease fat, burn some calories, improve their bone strength. I think resistance training trumps yoga in every aspect of that. Just because you go to yoga class and it's 100 degrees and you sweat doesn't mean you're burning a lot of calories. I mean, you wouldn't say that to someone who is sitting on a beach for 4 hours. You're not burning a lot of calories. Sure, you're sweating, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing anything. And from a osteoporosis standpoint, women need to be cognizant of that. And yoga, you need a minimal essential strain, and yoga won't necessarily do that unless you gain weight. And also when they say strength training, oh, you'll get stronger doing yoga. I mean, the only way you're going to progress with yoga is if you gain weight. So I just think I have my stances towards yoga. A lot of it has to do with the orthopedic issues, lower back, and the poses that people get into. But again, if you have the instructor who knows what they're doing, great. And when I originally wrote that article, I did get some feedback from yoga instructors saying their disdain for the article itself. and they were trying to enlighten me a little bit, which was great. You know, in hindsight, I could have written the article with a little bit more, fair word, for lack of a better term, as far as, you know, I know there's different kinds of yoga, and there's instructors out there that go out of their way to individualize it towards people. But in general, I just think there's better ways to go about things. Like, my rule with the women I deal with is, you can do yoga and Pilates, that's great, but not until after you're getting your 2 to 3 days of resistance training in, you're doing your energy system work, you know, you're watching your diet, then you can do your yoga. And even then, like, if I'm working with, from an athlete standpoint, if I'm only with them two days a week and I only have an hour with them, you can bet that if that percentage of the pie, none of it's going to be geared towards doing yoga. They're going to be working on mobility, dynamic flexibility, activation work, strength training, power output, all that stuff. So, yoga just mostly sucks. It doesn't suck entirely.
I've done yoga before.
I did too. You know, when I worked at Sports Club LA, we had to go through a week introductory course, so to speak, where they kind of trained us in, like, you know, of the ins and outs of the company. And what we had to do was take each class that was offered. And I took one of the yoga classes, and guess what hurt the next day? You know, not that it hurt, but I could feel it in my lower back.
Your pride? Oh.
Just some, yeah. Yeah, my pride hurt. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of it, you know, as far as, like, how they market it towards women. Not to say that everyone markets it that way, but I think all of us can agree that they kind of perpetuate a lot of lies that we tend to try to battle over and over and over again with women.
Okay, take this for what it's worth, but I took a stress management class in my last semester of college. And for one of the classes, we had like an hour and a half of yoga. And I came away with some similar feelings as Tony. And a couple of things I found out. People, you know, should wear shoes when they do it because their feet are going to smell. it's not appealing to me because I did Taekwondo when I was in sixth grade. And the place smelled really bad because people's feet smell like they're not going to, you know, go out of their way to get the BAM, Toughact, and Tenactin and spray that on beforehand, but they should. That has there's nothing scientific to what I'm going to say anyways. But also, B, three people farted during that class while doing movements.
Dear Lord.
Three people farted from doing, like, you know, you might as well call it like barking dog, because it's like you shove your ass up in the air, or like it's like you shove your legs behind your head, and like in a girl farted. That was the best part. But she was cool. She was like, she was one of the cooler girls there, but she still farted, and like people laughed, which is all right. And then I found like, If this is what people are going to spend, like, an hour doing, I'd even, like, rather have them, you know, go get on, like, a treadmill or a bike instead. Like, I see, like, this is something you can do with your friends, but I just didn't see, like, any benefits, like, stabilizing the core. Like, they're going to do that. They're going to be able to get more flexible, which, I mean, could serve its own purposes, but I just didn't see, like, why people would choose this over strength training, over even like curves. Like I was starting to think, like, you know, at least at like curves, there's some resistance there, right?
Curves is horrible.
I've never been in a hydraulic pump machine at curves. Yeah.
At least that sounds cool.
it's one of those things where, of course, being that the four of us are in the strength conditioning industry,
got a bias.
Whatever. And of course, we're going to be biased towards, okay, people need to lift heavy shit. People need to be doing intervals. People need to be doing this. And people in the yoga industry, Pilates industry, they're going to be biased towards their point of view and how, you know, we need to work on range of motion and we need to work on stabilization, which, yes, it's all important. And I don't want people to think that I don't think that I take a holistic approach, because certainly I know how important it is. I just don't agree when people in the yoga Pilates industry market it as the end all be all. Like, do this and you're going to look like this.
Jessica Biel and Jessica Alba do not do yoga.
No,
and they're smoking hot.
They don't, but there is something to be said about the fact that the average woman looks at Jessica Biel and thinks that she's bulky.
Oh, dude, I think she is.
And
perfect.
I think I'd hit it. Okay, I'm just saying.
Me too.
I'm just saying.
That's podcastawards.com. Please vote.
I'm just saying that if you go to YouTube and type in, because I'm putting an article up about this, but
I'll do it.
Go to YouTube and type in Jessica Biel's back, and it'll pull up a scene from Home of the Brave, I think it is. And then read the comments, and everything is, ooh, that is disgusting. Oh my God, she is so gross. Her back is so manly.
And yeah, I just got an article. Well, sorry, Lee, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, it's okay. And I'm just saying that while I don't agree with it on a personal level, that, you know, it is a perpetuated thing that even that is too aggressive and that is too bulky. And so, to some degree, should some women getting certain body types be doing less aggressive or resistance training if that's what they want? That's where it comes in. And,
well,
and
I mean, and absolutely. Like, I'm not trying to say that, oh my God, ladies, everyone should be in there pulling 200 pounds off the floor. Like, that hopefully that's not how I'm coming across.
No, I don't think that's how you're coming across at all. Yeah. I'm saying that's where the fear and the problem starts, is when you look at something that hot and you think that it's a problem. And I think that changes, the Pilates and the band workouts and all those kind of things that do that kind of that training for that kind of a just more muscle endurance, very little muscle mass kind of body type is going to continue to be perpetuated. So that's all I'm saying.
And, yeah, and I think, to go along with that, I know Kevin and I had mentioned that a client that works at Crest Performance, Danny Verner, earlier, he sent me a link that his sister read. I want to say it was on Oprah Winfrey's website. I forgot where it was from. But it was about Gwyneth Paltrow and how he tells women not to lift anything over 3 pounds.
3 pounds,
I didn't
lift your children.
That, but I know I'm going to blog about it probably at some point this week. But it's just it's stuff like that really, really, really gets at me, and it boggles my mind. And you know, but unfortunately, Oprah has such a wide audience that, you know, we're probably never going to win the battle, or the war, I should say. But hopefully, you know, even if like one light bulb goes off, you know, with somebody listening to this, and they're just kind of like, they kind of make sense. And. And I know it comes across as us being like anti-yoga, anti-Pilates, and you know, and again, like I said earlier, like I don't mind women doing it as long as they're getting that other stuff in as well beforehand, because I just think it's that important. And I don't know, I'm probably sound like a broken record, anyways, but you know, it's just it boggles my mind what some of the mainstream media will, the depths they'll go to just try to. Short end everyone, so to speak.
I think a couple of things that I would say. First, as far as like the lies about like yoga and Pilates, which are certainly all over the place. I mean, you hit it on the head as far as the lengthening of the muscle and all that kinds of stuff. But I don't even know that it's necessarily a lie of the industry. I don't think the industry heads get around and say, let's lie. I think it's the fact that most of the people that are instructing or putting forward these concepts really believe that that's true. I mean, they have no understanding of physiology. Mm-hmm. They don't get it. But I would never blame a technique for that. You know, we could come out and say, my workouts are the best in the world. And no, they're not. I hope they're good, but they're not. I mean, they're good. There's plenty that are great. You know, does that mean that we shouldn't do the workouts that I write because I'm obviously lying? I mean, if I believe it, then I'm not trying to deceive you. I think I'm telling the truth. They think they're telling the truth. They really think that that's something that occurs. As far as the argument about injuries, certainly true. But honestly, how much injury – I mean, their injury can occur. Certainly increases of range of motion are bad. But I think the other aspect of it is that the ability to stabilize that range of motion is going to offset, at least to some extent, that issue. Asymmetries in range of motion tend to be more problematic than just, you know, an increase of range of motion in general. And if we're talking about injuries, then, you know, all the stuff we talk about with sports and, you know, we should go out and be more active and do this and do that, there, I haven't seen the numbers. I could be wrong, but I could almost guarantee that there are more injuries from football, you know, or running or sprinting or even just basic weight training than there are from yoga. So in the least, I think if we're talking injuries, everything has a risk. Yoga certainly has a risk, but quite frankly, we're doing a relatively static or slow-moving issue. It's kind of like saying there are injuries from practicing Tai Chi. I'm sure there are, but do we really bring that up when we talk about Tai Chi? No, we talk about the benefits of it and joint stabilization, increased muscle mass, especially for the elderly. Now, the range of motion stuff is different. But then again, most classes will also do a lot of stretching beforehand anyway. You know, Kevin was saying about Taekwondo, I practiced martial arts for years. We did some stupid stuff in terms of stretching.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all still walking around. I mean, it didn't kill us. And they may not have been the best ideas, but I think that we still were able to, you know, overcome maybe some of the things that now I look back on and go, wow, we were doing a lot of ballistic stretching. We probably shouldn't have done that. But I think the point is that it's not a time bomb waiting to go off, because if it is, there's a lot worse out there than what would be practiced in yoga.
You know, sometimes in life you have to thank technology. And one thing that just in relation to what Lee was bringing up, Google Images is great. If you can look at that, type in Jessica Biel and click on images. And if you disagree, if you're a guy and you disagree with what we're saying, then you're nuts. Guess that didn't roll off very well. All right.
I wasn't sure where you're going with it, Kevin. Like, okay, where are you going with it?
Jessica Biel is
I don't
hot.
See how you're going to be able to perform the show after looking at the Google images of Jessica Biel, Kevin.
Must click
Damn,
on to
God.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was watching the welcome or get the married about Chuck and whatever his name was with Adam Sandler.
All right.
And in that movie, that was as close as like I'll ever get to Jessica Biel, and it was fantastic.
For the record, my girlfriend is not Jennifer Biel is pretty, and I'd also like to go on record to say, sweetheart, I love you, but you're wrong.
and she's hotter than Jessica Biel.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
Yeah. All right, I think that's a great time to get into the mailbag, unless anyone has any other awkward things they want to bring up.
So if anyone out there was wondering about yoga, I hope we settled that for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure people are gonna they're gonna think that.
But I think we can all agree it's better than nothing, right?
Oh, certainly.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think that it is the general practice of yoga that is the correct practice of yoga that's the problem. I think it's more of like what encompasses everything that surrounds yoga, the bad that can be. That's all. Absolutely. That's what I think.
But an example of a guy, and it's just one example, but I think we all kind of have this image of like the, you know, practiced yogi that's like 70, 80 years old, and these guys are doing like one-handed handstands, and I actually met a guy that was like that, and you know, he was doing stuff that I was, it's like 23, 24 years old, and I'm looking at him going, there's no way I can do that, and that to me means something. You know, their physical abilities, regardless of anything else we might discuss, certainly as we get older anyway, you know, to be able to hold those poses, to do the things that they do, and when we look at the issues that do affect the elderly, certainly resistance training is absolutely beneficial as well. But you know, you just I can't claim that a man that was around 70, 73 years old doing this, like, you know, balancing on two hands kind of thing is not a good thing for him. So
it's kind of like, well, you have to, you know, respect CrossFit as well.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. The first question we have for the mailbag this week comes from Anne. We do have two questions back for back. One's from Anne, one's from Anna, but they're two different people. Anne says, "Hi, I'm trying to reach a fat loss deficit. I calculated a caloric need of 1,115 calories to achieve optimal deficit. I am female, moderately to very active, bike, run, lift, etc. Mother of three, hairstylist, 26, 154 pounds, and 24.5% body fat. By far, that's the best description we've ever gotten from someone for details. She says, and 24.5% body fat. Is this too low or about right? Can you address creating a caloric deficit with Lee Peel possibly on your podcast? I love your show. Thanks, Anne." So, Lee, what's up?
Okay. Well, I think when she's saying, is her body fat too low? Am I correct to think? Do you think that that's what she's asking?
I don't know if it's that or if it's I'm thinking
or
it's
if the
her
deficit
calories.
Is too low.
I think deficit. I think
yeah. Okay. Deficit. Okay. I wasn't quite sure there. For one, I have calorically monitored through various different methods hairstylist, and I can tell you right now that you naturally burn a lot of calories. So I'm just gonna throw that out there. Based upon your job, it's very physically demanding being a hairstylist. And you're a mother of three, and you bike, and you run, and you lift. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna tell you right now that 1,100 calories, I don't freaking think so. That's not to say that you couldn't take that in if you were going to take in those kind of low calories with that kind of activity. I would assume, just based on what you're sharing, that you're hitting at least 1,000 to 1,500 daily deficit, and your protein intake would need to be very high in order to preserve your lean body mass. Your fat intake would have to be pretty high too to help with your hormone levels, being that you're getting kind of closer to a lower body fat level. So not to say that you'd have to go keto by any means, but basically your nutrition at that kind of calorie level would have to be on point. What I would suggest rather than doing 1,100 calories is I would maybe start somewhere maybe in the 15 to 17 range with that kind of activity level and see what happens and take it from there. My motto, as always, is do only what you have to do and then adjust from there. And it seems like that you get a lot of activity in, and it doesn't seem like you'd have to drop down quite as low as what, say, someone who was working in an office who just went home every day and sat down and watched some TV would have to do. That kind of caloric level in general is for a low body weight person who doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of caloric level for someone who does all that, in my personal opinion. So, and from all the study that I've done of reading people, you hit calories that low, and unless you're doing something like a warp speed or a rapid fat loss, something to that degree that has very particular protein requirements and it's set up, like if you just kind of go at it with that kind of caloric level, you're going to burn out really, really quick. So I wouldn't go so low.
Is this something, or is that the point where you have to look at like the macronutrient breakdown? Like maybe she's just not eating the right kinds of food. She's just getting in 1,100 calories of, I mean, it's hard to say that because she is very active. Like you think her nutrition would be on.
For me, it doesn't seem like that she's done it yet. If you are actually out there eating 1,100 calories on this kind of activity, then there's one of two things happening. One, you're not really eating that and you think you are. And you need to calculate your caloric intake better and make sure that you're monitoring and not just like guesstimating. Or two, you have really burned yourself out and you've overly lowered your metabolic rate, perhaps affecting your actual thyroid levels and BMR and things of that nature, and you need to chill out and reset yourself and restart after you've taken a nice rest period, done a good refeed, gotten that leptin back up and all that kind of stuff and hit back at it again. I don't think that this is necessarily a case of you're eating too many carbs or anything like that. That's a big drop in calories, and it doesn't, you can't, I just don't think that you can do that in general with that kind of an activity, those low calories for an extended period of time. So if you're doing that, you need to back off, in my opinion. You just can't hold that kind of calories for that long with that much activity.
And as a corollary to that, like, I'm even going to ask you a question on top of that question. But, you know, I totally, I mean, firsthand, I saw that question, 1,100 calories, and particularly her body weight activity level, you know, that's way too low. I'm point blank, 1,100 calories is too low for her. But I'm going to ask Lee this question, saying let's assume that she is eating those calories that low,
yeah,
and we want her to get to 1,500 calories. How many weeks would you say she should take to – should she just automatically
just jump to it, or should she slowly
– should she gradually, like, every week to increase by 100, 200 calories? Like, how would you have that?
It depends. Like say, for example, like, let's say, like, she just got, like, a little thing upper to just, you know, jump into it. And, like, for, like, the last, like, I don't know, like, week or two she's been doing this. And, I mean, I'd really be surprised if that was the case, that she didn't hit results, right? Because you jump into something like that, doing that kind of activity, you're going to see scale drops in, like, a matter of a couple days, even if you're a female with, like, the worst of hormone fluctuations. However... let's say, so if that was the case, then just jump right into it. It doesn't matter because you haven't done anything. You're not going to have anything weird happen. You just jump right back into 1,500 or 1,700. You should be fine.
Okay.
If you've been doing it for an extended period of time, it depends on how long and how aggressive. If you've been doing it for even, you're with that kind of a caloric drop, if you're, say, let's say she's burning somewhere, I would assume she's burning somewhere around 2,500 calories a day. And this is, I mean, obviously I'm guesstimating, but this is just based on kind of like past experience with tracking people. And from what she is saying, I don't know how aggressively she's spiking. I don't know how aggressive she's running or lifting, but usually moms and hairstylists with some general training, I kind of clocked in somewhere between 25 to 3,000 calories on average.
Yeah.
I mean, they can really get up there when they're doing that kind of physical activity. So I would just land it somewhere in that range. And if she was actually eating that low of calories with that kind of daily burn, then she can really quickly, in about 2 to 3 weeks, really drop her leptin and thyroid levels pretty low. And
right.
I would just increase it by like maybe 100 to 200 the first week, see what happens, see how you feel. And if you don't have any sort of large water change or large fluctuations, because on that low of calories, you really shouldn't, then take it back up another 200 and 300, and then see, and then take it back up and then see. Like, just kind of move it slowly. And the less of a reaction you have, the better. If you take your calories up to about 300 calories from something like that and you blow it up like a blowfish, then you have some serious electrolyte imbalance issues going on, and you need to... it doesn't mean that you can't eat quicker. It just means you might freak yourself out from eating quicker. That's the issue. And we just don't want you to freak out. So don't freak out. You can keep eating. You're going to be fine. But if you're going to freak out, then just do it slowly. That's more of what the issue is. It's to stop you from freaking out, because your BMR and leptin level should adjust within a couple weeks on average, and unless you've really done some. And that's when we get into like anorexia and bulimia and stuff like that.
But to summarize, I mean, I think we can all agree that 1,100 calories is way too low.
For this activity level, yes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, I just did a quick calculation on my computer calculator, and even based off that, I would say a deficit for her would be 1,800. You know, that's just taking her body weight and multiplying times 12. She's around 1,700, 1,800, and she's not getting, I don't know, like, it's just... If she's not getting the results of 1,100, then but I think, you know, we can assume that she hasn't done this yet. At least I hope she hasn't.
I'm thinking she hasn't. That from the question, that's I'm kind of thinking she hasn't gone there yet. And you know, it's not that you can't do an extreme deficit anyway. There's nothing wrong with extreme deficits if you do
not
them
at all.
Right. And you do them for short periods of time, and you do them correctly. But if you're doing an extreme deficit and stuff isn't happening, then you need to check some things. And
mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. But yeah, I'd take it a little bit slower there, and and raise the calories a little bit.
All right. Next question comes from Anna. She says, I am a 30-year-old female and have been weight training for 6 years. Last year, I was able to finally do one unassisted chin-up, but since then, the most I've been able to get is two. I do band-assisted reps for 3 sets of 8 or 4 sets of 6, 2 to 3 times a week, as well as unassisted negatives, trying to get to, up to 30 seconds. Any ideas to increase my number of unassisted reps? I am 5'2", 120 pounds. Thanks very much. And the first thing I want to bring up is that I've noticed at Crescent Performance, the lat pull down never gets used. And one thing that I used for a client of mine up at college is she was having trouble doing pull-ups in the beginning of her training, and I just had her do, you know, supinated lat pull-downs as kind of like one of those things we throw in every it was just three full body workouts, and that was in one of the workouts, as well as, you know, like band assisted pull-ups. Is there something wrong with that? And I'm going to ask you, Tony. I'm going to just, you know, throw you under the bus.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad approach. I think for people who are relatively new to resistance training or woefully deconditioned, I think the lat pull-down is a great, great movement for them.
Well, it's teaching the same movement, is it?
Yes and no. I mean, you're not doing a lot of stabilization or anything, or really you're not working any
no
the strength tension curve at all. But in the terms of Anna, first of all, doing two unassisted chin-ups is actually pretty good. There's not many girls who can do that. We just had
Tony. You can do 10. Sorry.
Oh yeah. But you know, that's still nothing to sneeze at. I mean, our elite triathlete that we trained just did her first unassisted chin-up for the first time in her life like a month ago. So the fact that she can do 1 to 2 is actually pretty impressive. But in the case of what she could be doing further, I see that she said she's doing assisted for 3x8, 4x6, doing negatives, which are fine. I think she probably could bode well with just doing lower, more like sets of 2, sets of 3, and focus on being a little bit more explosive with those assisted chin-ups, like doing like 5 sets of 3. I found great success with a lot of the females that I train, you know, at Cresty Performance, where I have them doing with the band, even just doing clusters of like 2. That way, they're just doing 2 reps, but they're quality reps. They're focused on being explosive. They're focused on being fast. And they're pumping them out sooner rather than later. So I'm sure John might have some good ideas as well. But off the top of my head, I think getting away from the 3 sets of 8 and 4x6 would be better, and focus more on doing like getting more singles and doubles, maybe some triples in, but really focus on being a little bit more explosive and getting some quality reps in.
Yeah, I would first to speak a little bit to what Kevin was saying. The idea between lat pull downs and pull ups, even though they look the same, it's the difference between kinematics and kinetics. Kinematics is basically what something looks like. It's movement without consideration of forces, and kinetics is the actual consideration of forces and the different forces that occur when the body is moving and what is resisting that movement. So it's a mistake that a lot of trainers or even coaches, I think, probably get into because they figure, well, this looks like the activity that I want them to do, so it'll help them. Doing lat pull down isn't going to necessarily hurt in the sense of, you know, you'll build muscle mass in the lats, you'll build muscle mass in the arms, but without the ability to transfer that and to use that into a lat pull down, into a pull up, it's not going to do you much good. So you still have to learn the movement requirements and the neuromuscular activity to actually do a pull up. And then, like Tony was saying, there's also considerations of like core activity and stabilizing the body when you do it. Definitely get into the lower reps. If you're trying to do three reps from 2, don't do sets of 8 or even 6. Do sets of 3. Make sure you're doing them in the beginning of the workout, not the end. So take whatever is most valuable to you and do it at the point in your workout when you have the most energy to do it. You can do things like jump pull-ups where depending on your height, I mean, you may be able to do it at a bar, or sometimes I'll have like a shorter client, you know, if they're female, whatever, even on the Smith machine, just set it to the highest point, put a couple plates on the sides to make sure it doesn't move, and then you can jump to pull yourself up for the last pull up or whatever pull ups that you can't get, and then slowly lower yourself. That tends to work pretty well too. I think you're on the right track. I think there's just a couple things that you can play with to get some better results from.
Are we waiting to see who's going to talk first?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I muted myself. I apologize. I... Lee, do you have anything?
I read an article. You can look for it on Figure Athlete. It's called Ladies, You Can Conquer the Pull-Up. And it kind of goes through some various. It has an actual program if you're looking to just increase your pull-ups. But basically, to add to what others said, one of the things that I have found to be most, when you're working towards a specific movement, you have to do that movement. So if you really want to increase your pull-ups, and that is just like one of those things that you just want to really get good at, like I wanted to get good at handstand push-ups. So in order to do that, I just did them. And you just do them a lot and all the time. And you've got to make it your focus. You've got to make it, you know, if you want to look at how to increase pull-ups, one of the easiest things to go to is granted they're not always the greatest in the world, but the military, I mean, they knock out some pull-ups. And they knock out some pull-ups because they do them all the time. Now, I'm not necessarily telling you to, you know, put an overload into your, you know, your nervous system, because to some degree that's what they do. But there's a middle ground, and that middle ground is do as many as you can do and do them aggressively and just really put your focus on the pull-ups, and that can help. So, yeah, basically just do them as much as possible too. That helps. Try not to break up too much training in your workout. Put them at the beginning, make them your focus, and do them until you can do them better.
Very good. Good luck with that. Anna, we have a third straight question from a female. I think that's the first time in history, or about a female, I should say. This person did not leave a name. It just says Shins Man, so I'm guessing it's a guy, may have issues with his shins. And yes, Hope. I have a good friend, female, approximately 46, who is overweight, approximately 250 pounds. She also has many... I'm not laughing at the question. You guys are going to stop laughing. I can't read. Tony knows I can't lift if people laugh. It's the same thing when I read. All right. I have a good friend, female, approximately 46, who is overweight, approximately 250 pounds. She has many joint and arthritis. I keep reading that as she has many joints. She has many joint and arthritis issues. She recently read a book on a pH diet supposed to help with managing acid, alkaline, and pH levels. The result is supposed to be weight loss and help with arthritis. I read some about it, but what is your take on this type of diet? She is struggling through it so far, but from what I see, I'm worried about her getting protein and balanced diets so she loses the weight in a healthy manner. Is this type of diet really healthy? And I think one of the issues coming up is protein intake, and I don't know if this is focusing on acid-based balance of the body, but Tony, did you read this when you were at Barnes & Noble? Did you read this book?
I didn't read this specific one, but it sounds very familiar to the blood type diet. Where it talks about acid and alkaline and pH.
Alkaline?
pH levels of, yeah, alkaline, there you go. And pH levels of the blood. I don't know. I will defer this to Lee, because she's more of the dieting girl than I am, but most of it seems a little voodoo-y to me. It's not that I don't think there's any validity to eating, you know, more vegetables, et cetera, to improve the alkalinity of the blood. But as far, I don't know, like Lee, I'm just going to defer to you. You're more of the dieting girl than I am.
Okay.
I didn't read the book. I mean, honestly, like I don't feel comfortable answering the question.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you at all. The pH diet, it's just, okay. There's some, with all diets, I like to say this in general, with all diets, even the stupidest ones, there's some degree of truth, and then there's a lot of degree of BS, and this is kind of one of those diets where there is some degree of truth to it, but most of it's kind of crap. The basis of it is to just try and get a healthy balance of your like acid system in the body for good digestion, for just better health in general. I guess it sounds to me like we're trying to find a way to tailor this diet to actually be a good diet, and that's where I think that we're going wrong here. Shizman, I think better what she should do is the problem seems to be with her arthritis and joints that we need to focus on anti-inflammation. So what causes inflammation issues? Sometimes to some degree certain carbohydrates can do so. So also any sort of some things have been shown as artificial sweeteners even. It ranges and varies and things aren't completely conclusive, but what I would say is the best thing for a diet if your joints and arthritis is bad is to focus on completely clean nutrition as much as possible because you're not that healthy. And if you're not that healthy, then you don't get to play those fun games and have the Starbucks and have, you know, a little bit of crap here and a little bit of crap there. You don't get to have as much crap because you're not in as much as a healthy range. So you're gonna have to be a little bit tighter. Good fruits, good vegetables, good, you know, proteins, good fats. Definitely if you're having joint and arthritis issues, don't worry about some funky pH diet and more worry about getting some good fish oils. You can get some MSM. And there's good supplements out there for like joint inflammation that aren't hinky, that are well researched. And just doing fish oils alone and getting in a good multi would make a really big difference. I would also, I'd recommend some good stretching. A lot of times you can alleviate arthritic issues by just focusing on a proper mobility program and getting some flexibility. And I can't believe I got through all that without completely laughing because they're messaging me. I'm just throwing it out there right now so that you, the
Kind of
listeners,
figured they
know.
were.
They're messaging me and they're trying to fuck with me and so I didn't fail, okay? I've got through the whole thing and I gave Shizman his arthritic friend, you know, his friend. All right, I gave his friend some suggestions. So there it is. God, you
I
suck.
got my finger on the mute button for the rest of this episode, just in case anything happens. Tony, this is what you miss out, dude. You know, Best Buy sells
I think
USB headsets.
I get left out on all the text messaging phone when I, or not text messaging, but the Skype phone, because I don't use Skype.
Yeah. The very last question comes from Aaron.
I can't believe you didn't ask me about arthritis. I'm like a PT student.
Oh,
You didn't ask me
sorry.
anything about arthritis.
I'm trying to focus on the like
Sitting
I
there
I'm focused.
messing with the Skype
So,
talk. You know what?
John, Mr. Fass, what are your thoughts on arthritis, and what do you think we can do for Shin's man's lady friend? And I didn't mean that in a derogatory way, so don't.
You know what? I agree with the comp guy, whatever the hell his name is. I was only going to add that the diet is fine. Whatever, you know, if you're looking to reduce pH levels through diet, and like Lee said, that I mean, it's you can have some effect with that. But honestly, I look at a woman that's 46 and overweight, I mean, and grossly overweight, and 250 pounds is a lot of weight to have to lose. The excess strain on the joints, the difficulty that I would assume that she has with her mobility and with her moving. She's going to see a whole lot more in terms of improvements of her condition through that exercise. And if she were to come into clinic, it'd be the first thing that we would do. We'd look to increase her strength, improve her joint mobility and range of motion. And the diet is certainly an important aspect of it. But if she's, you know, if we're looking to lose weight through the diet alone and through a pH diet, then I think she's missing out on a major part of what she could be doing to improve her situation. So I think, you know, before you look at the details and try to figure out, well, what can I do here, what can I do there, look at the big picture. Major excess weight on the joints, improve the strength of those joints, and improve overall conditioning and lower that weight, and you'll see much, much faster and improved results.
How do you guys feel about things like Greens Plus and Superfood? Or, I mean, if again, this is talking about if people aren't maintaining like proper fruit and vegetable intake for maintaining acid base levels, do you think that's something that would benefit her as well?
I mean, there's basically it's it I think that no. I mean, not to say that it's not gonna there's nothing wrong with like greens and getting in extra greens,
Mm-hmm.
but I don't think that I think that is like, how about a cherry on the cake kind of thing. Like, it's not going to do anything if this woman isn't doing, you know, proper training and you know, lost some fat. And I think that as far as her inflammation and arthritic issues are concerned, you're going to find a lot, supplement-wise, you're going to find a lot more benefit from something like fish oil or from, like, you know, MSM or things along those lines before you're going to find it from greens. I honestly don't think that the pH in this instance is even really or that much in general. I think that's just an after effect. It's kind of like saying, you know, I'm not even going to give it one of my analogies. And I don't think that that's where her focus should be on as overall. I'm just going to end it there.
You guys are still messaging each other, aren't you?
Certainly not. I'm watching the game.
I'm not doing anything at all. I'm waiting for.
Guys, can we just? We have one more question from Aaron, and
okay.
Keep it together.
I feel like I'm in trouble now. I feel scalded.
I really apologize. I'm just having like an ADD day, and I think John put that the best way, and it's been somewhat of a long week. Oh, long story short, my school has still not put my grades in, so I haven't taken my CSCS exam, which is it's been great sending about 40 emails back and forth through my college, which is part of the insanity. But the last question does come from Aaron from Australia, and he asks, I was listening to one of your shows just now, and I think Jen was talking about her article on the basics. In there, she said that if you aren't sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night, that essentially you are doing yourself an injustice as far as trying to maintain a healthy, lean body. I used to be over 190 kilograms 3 years ago, and now I'm just about 95 kilograms. I used to sleep a lot, but when I am at my fittest, when I'm at my fittest, 5 days a week of weights, 4 times a week of 10K running, 2 times of jiu-jitsu, and riding to and from work. I sleep about 5 hours a night. I heard that you should sleep about 8 hours, so I tried this for 2 weeks by going to bed early, having, I don't know if any, oh, is that chamomile?
Chamomile
tea, and other sleep enhancers, but I regularly would just be wasting time in bed after 5 or 6 hours of sleep. I couldn't actually sleep for 8 hours. So I was wondering if the 7 to 9 hours was a universal truth, like everything, it varies between person to person. Also, I was wondering if there are any ways to get an idea on whether you should be sleeping more if you are otherwise not tired, training well, and so on. An example could be better, I think he's trying to say. Thanks, guys. Your show is awesome. I learned a lot. And again, that's from Aaron. So I'll shoot this one to you, Tony, first.
Oh, to me? I always try to tell. I mean, most of the people I work with don't get enough sleep remotely close to where they should be. So, I mean, we can tell people that they need to get more sleep, you know, and we all know better that they're probably not going to get it. I think that the 7 to 9 hours is definitely a universal recommendation that we give a lot of people, and it's certainly ideal from a hormonal standpoint. You know, when we sleep, our circadian rhythms, you know, we get more growth hormone output, you know, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think I'm looking at the question again, and his issue was the fact that he just doesn't feel tired,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he doesn't sleep 8 hours. So I would maybe recommend, you know, I would say I would ask him, like, when he was training. Is he training right before he goes to bed? What's he eating before he's going to bed? I mean, he might need to kind of tweak that stuff around a little bit. I've had really good results with recommending ZMA to people just for improving sleep quality. That could be an option. I mean, those are the things that kind of shoot out off the top of my head upon reading that question. He says he's getting about 5 hours a night, which isn't atrocious, but, you know, really, I mean, if he feels fine, then okay, whatever. So be it. Like, I wouldn't really worry too much about it. I mean, if it was affecting, if you're feeling like poop and it was affecting your work and you were groggy and depressed, then I would say, yeah, we need to get after it a little bit. But, you know, honestly, outside of asking him, like, when he was training and what he was eating and whether or not he's taking stuff that would help him, you know, improve his sleep quality, you know, if he feels fine with 5 hours a night, then so be it. You know, that's my opinion on it.
What do you think, Lee?
As far as the asking the question of, is this kind of like a broad spectrum range of 7 to 9 hours, there are some studies that have shown that overall you have leptin and certain hormone drops with even as little as 6 hours of sleep in just one night. So I'm a really big proponent of sleep. I think that in general, you're going to achieve a better body composition and better overall being with as much sleep as possible. There is stuff that shows that lack of sleep with aggressive training raises your natural adrenaline and cortisol levels. So therefore, you will want to go more harder on less sleep to some degree. It doesn't necessarily put you in like a natural stimulation or high, if you will, but it kind of increases your, it raises different things at different times. So you can go from feeling kind of amped to feeling kind of lethargic and then feeling kind of amped and lethargic. If that's going on at all, then maybe kind of look out for that, because it could mean that you're really working kind of hard and you really do need to back off. But if you find that, I mean, you are one of those people that just doesn't need as much sleep, I don't see a lot of that, but that doesn't say that I don't put depends in most of the things that I say. You know, fill it out for you. But overall, I would do the best you can to try and get sleep, because I've never seen, how about this? I've never seen more sleep affect negatively on training, and I have seen less sleep affect training. So how about that? I'll put it like that. More is hardly ever bad. So I can't see how more would be worse. So you just kind of, why don't you sleep more, see what happens. But as far as study wise, most studies that have been done where any sleep is decreased, even on small levels, performance, leptin, serotonin, cortisol levels raise, and it just keeps going. So,
how about you, John?
I would be lying if I had any idea. No, I'm just kidding. But I've never really looked at it as far as outliers, and there's always outliers. So when we say 7 to 9 hours, I believe that does come from, you know, the, you know, 2 to 3. Statistical, what's the word I'm looking for? Apparently I'm half asleep right now. What do you call it? Data points out. But I'm sure there are some people that operate on less sleep and they're fine to do it. I would not think that that's the general population. As far as getting more sleep, sometimes there's a lot of things that are involved with sleep. You know, what your mood is, what your nutrition is like, when you're, you know, doing activities during your day, what you're psychologically like as far as stress and whatever. So there could be a lot of reasons why you're not sleeping, or it could just be that you really are one of those rare individuals that maybe they doesn't need as much sleep as is generally suggested, but I'm certainly no sleep expert, so take whatever I have to say about that with a grain of salt.
Does everyone use ZMA on the show? I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say Tony's going to say yes.
I do.
Lee?
I do not.
Is there
a reason?
Yes.
I just don't take ZMA specifically. Mm-hmm. I get my zinc, I get my magnesium.
Yep.
I do, you know, I don't take it as a specific, and I don't really have any, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. Sleep for me isn't an issue. Staying asleep can be sometimes, but not actually getting to sleep.
Is there anything that you'd recommend for people who can't stay asleep?
For a natural,
It,
melatonin. It's simple. It works. It's studied. It's non-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing wrong with taking a little melatonin. And it's what your body produces naturally. And beyond that, if you don't want to take anything, shut off the lights, put on a sleep mask, and just try and shut off your mind and relax best as possible. But then, you know, it can start to get into psychological issues, and that's a whole other ballgame. So
it's really not surprising that I'm sure Tony can speak to this as well, but I was talking with some of the guys at Eckhart's Performance, and these the kids in high school, I mean, obviously high school kids, they're just not getting much sleep. Like, I'll see them come in some days, and after 6 hours of school, they're you know, absolutely dead. And I asked them, well, when'd you go to bed last night? Midnight. When'd you get up? It's like 6:30. They're getting 6 hours, 6.5 hours of sleep every night, and that's pretty brutal. I don't know why I brought that up, just anecdotal evidence, I guess. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. I'm going to get this wrapped up as fast as possible. But before we do go, I want to ask everyone, I'm going to go around starting with John. John, is there anything we should be looking out for on your blog, your website? Like, is there anything spectacular going on?
Yeah, like, freaking update probably would be nice. But no, I'm not sure yet. I actually, I'm teaching this semester at Rutgers in the exercise science department. So, we just had our first class last week. We had a few, we'd skipped the first class and made it up because we had the football game that that we got blown out in, and it was horrible and very sad for all of us at Rutgers. But so I just started teaching the course, and I was thinking of probably throwing a couple of things that came up in the class up on the blog for people to read, because it's a pretty cool class. So.
How about you, Leah? Is there going to be any more Get Awards given out this week? Why don't you
actually
tell people about that?
The Get Awards are my consumer report, if you will, for online, offline supplements, products, ebooks, etc. I've gotten so many great requests. It's awesome. So I have a lot coming up from just reader requesting things. But basically, the better your product, the more of a gut you get. And people don't like that, but I don't care. I think it's funny. And so yeah, that's coming up, and then I'm switching my URL to Kevin Larrabee can't say my fucking URL name.
Really?
Yeah, and look out for the launch of that midweek.
I don't even think that'll fit on Twitter. You can't even send that out.
I'm gonna tiny URL it. That's what I'll do.
Okay.
And but yeah, that's basically I have that, and then I have some video stuff coming up, but you know, nothing too crazy.
How about you,
Tony?
That was
podcastawards.com. Please
yep.
vote for us.
No, I was going to say that at the end, podcastawards.com. believe it or not, this is under the fitness and nutrition section, not the any other section. I am so sorry, guys. And Tony, how about you? What happened to Reebok?
What happened was apparently – The way it was explained to me through Colleen, who's the girl I go through at the Herald, was when a company launches an advertising campaign, it's like done in tiers. You know, they'll originally do it through, you know, blogs, whatever, and then they start allocating money to more higher end like commercials and blah blah blah. So it wasn't that they took the sponsorship away, because I mean, it was there for 2 weeks, which I think was, I mean, she said it was only going to be a couple weeks anyway, so, but I'm definitely, she's definitely working on getting more sponsors there, which will be cool, but from the blog front, I'll be updating it, you know, 2 or 3 times this week. My brain's been churning as far as some article ideas. I think I want to write an article on, like, a hierarchy of, like, how people can get stronger, because I remember a good article that I liked that Alan Kosker wrote was the hierarchy of fat loss, like, you know, certain things that you need to put a lot of your time and effort in as opposed to others. So I think a good one on how getting stronger, some people can do with that. I think that'd be a good idea for an article. So I'm going to start writing that. Gotten some requests from some magazines. I had, you know, 2 or 3 magazines call me last week about article stuff that they wanted a quote-unquote expert on. So that was kind of cool. But on that front, that's about it, really.
And do you have anything you want to say about people playing Rock Band? Like, well, you have to call me out on your blog like
hey,
that.
Hey, I didn't say your name. I just said the actual game. I didn't say Kevin Larrabee.
Well, no, you did. And I just want to let everyone out there that does play video games know that, you know what, I am backing you up. I did call Tony out, and I said that You know, instead, we should all watch The Lord of the Rings, Regression of Manhood, because that's what happens when you watch The Lord of the Rings too much. And Tony plays with dolls. That's completely false, but I'm going to say it. This might be the most awkward episode we've ever done.
This show is just going on a downward spiral.
Absolutely awkward. We're done. We're going to wrap it up now. Please, everyone, please continue to listen to the show. I know this is kind of like a weird week, but please continue to listen to the show. Either way, we hopefully will have...
Okay, here's what happened. Normally, even though it sounds like we never have any clue what's going on, Kevin will give us an outline right before we get the show, like an hour or two, and we'll kind of look over the subject matter, we'll prepare. None of us got the outline.
So I made Kevin it.
Called us, he made it, but apparently he ate it.
I made it last night. How can I eat a virtual piece of stuff?
I don't know, dude. I'm not even sure that you exist as far as I'm concerned. You're just a voice on the other Skype. But
I'm actually Tony.
Nice. So normally we get this. We did not. So I think all of us thought that we weren't filming recording the show today. And all of a sudden Kevin shows up on Skype. Hey, how's it going? Are we ready? So all of us like totally caught off guard. And we all apologize.
Thanks for making an excuse for me. I appreciate that. And
hey, Captain goes down with the ship, man.
It does. We've been on Skype for an hour and 45 minutes. I think we're all ready to go watch some football and do some other stuff. I apologize. Please listen next week, but we will have another show. And check out thefitcast.com. Please subscribe through iTunes and leave some positive reviews. Show Comp Guy 974, what's up? And until next week, we're out. We'll see you next time. I got nothing. I'm just done.